Back here on the second guest show, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be on until 7 o'clock tonight, and then we'll throw it to the LSU Network right here on the Big 870, and it'll be the Matt McMahon Show. On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line from Bally Sports, play-by-play guy for the New Orleans Pelicans. Got a two-game winning streak going, Joe Myers. Joe, thanks so much for joining us.
Boy, you guys got the life on the beach, at the casino.
How about that, Joe?
I want to sign up for that gig. I'll tell you that.
Joe, I was just telling the guys this. This was right at noontime or a little afterwards. I get a flash from BetMGM, okay? And I do the commercials for them. And so I'll say that right off the bat. Their pick of the day. Pelicans over Sacramento. I'm saying, wait a minute. No Valanciunas, no Brandon Ingram. Man,
no Zion.
No Zion. Something doesn't quite add up. It would have been a no sweat bet on that one. And that to me was so impressive how dominant the Pelicans were yesterday against a team that was, they were striking it pretty good.
And they scored 70 points in the first half, Jeff.
Yeah, and that's, the last two games, the Pelicans gave up 72 in the first half to Dallas and 70 in the first half to the Lakers. So it was good to see there was a premium at that end of the floor. But, as we talk about, and let's face it, without Big Z, with Zion out and Brandon out and Jonas, you're missing 60 points, 22 boards, and double figures and assists combined. So it didn't hurt, guys. Don't forget, De'Aaron Fox is everything to that franchise. He is their court general. He's having an all-star season. He should be added now that there's an injury. He should be added as one of the reserves. So they were missing two, and they were missing a key ingredient. But at the same time, Pels played great over the weekend. They really did. And especially in the second half of the Laker game at the defensive end and what they did in the four quarters and the way they helped each other and rotated. If you got to play defense. Your offense is going to struggle from time to time. If your defense is sound, you're going to stay in a lot of games. So now the Pels, with 27 losses and a couple of wins, despite 10 trade losses, they're only a game out of the four slot in the loss column in the West. The West is upside down. The West is nuts right now, as you guys know.
Now, Joe, when you talk about offensive and defensive basketball, and you say, well, if you play defense, that makes sense that you're always going to be in games. But I'm looking at during the 10-game losing streak, the Pels ranked last in the NBA in points scored per possessions.
Right.
And then their offense finally came alive in the second half in Saturday's game against L.A., against the Lakers. They scored 42 points in the third quarter. Then them shooting, 52% in the field. They scored 70 points in the second half. And then when you look at what occurred against the Kings, they shot 57% in the field. So the question I have for you, is it like the field goal percentage, or what exactly is it, like number of points you scored in a quarter, or is it the high percentage that you're shooting to influence with the offense and what they're doing game in and game out?
Yeah, it's efficiency, Bobby. It really is, because you're not going to be a volume three-point shooting team. The Pels aren't built that way. Pels are a top 15 points in the paint. So they're going to be efficient there. They have to outscore people when Zion gets back in. And remember, Zion's last, 10, 12 games in December? He got hurt January 2nd. He averaged 30 a game, and most of them were in the paint. High efficiency, high field goal percentage. So, and then also look at the turnover margin. If you have a 2-to-1 assist to turnover margin every game, you're going to win. So that's 25 assists over 12, plus maybe 12, 13 turnovers. Pels average 26 assists, 27 assists a game. So if they maintain and they don't beat themselves and give the ball away, which they had a propensity for that in the 10-game losing streak, and especially on the road, and that's where they struggle. They're 9-18 on the road. They got to get some road wins, because in 13 games still left at home, I truly believe they can win 10, 11 of those and get to close to 30 wins at home. But they got to pick up the road wins, whether it's Portland, wherever, because they're going out west a couple of more times. They got the Warriors coming up as well out west after the All-Star break. Steph Curry is going to be missing. They're not the same team. Like De'Aaron Fox, Sacramento's not the same team. Missing him last night. they're not going to be the same team. I'm going to watch Golden State a little bit later tonight without Steph Curry and see how they respond. And then let's see what happens with the Dallas Mavericks now. And they have one more. They're a game ahead of the Pels in the loss column. Luka's hurt. Now they're bringing in Kyrie Irving. Let's see how that blends, the chemistry there, because those are two ball-dominant guys. Let's see if they struggle a little bit. So it's really wacky right now, to say the least. I mean that sincerely. I've never seen the West bunch together like this, and there are that many teams. You can go down to the Lakers, they have 29 losses, and you go to the Clippers, they have 26 losses. That's 4 through 13, three losses separating all those teams in the Western Conference. So it's up for grabs. The Pels can get it done now.
Now, you know, Joe, when you look at Murphy, and I don't know, when I look at this and how he was shooting and how accurate he was, I mean, to me he was instrumental, even what he did against the Lakers. He fouled, but he had 21-point effort against the Lakers. And then you look at against Sacramento, 30 points. He scored were two of his career high, 9 of 11 from the field, 6 of 8, 3-point territory. Would that be asking too much for him? Or, I don't know, you got to shoot double digits, because I know you consider it amongst the best in the NBA if you can make 4 out of 10 from the 3-point range. Is that something you'd be asking too much of Murphy, to put that much attempts maybe from long distance, game in and game out?
No, it's not too much, but here's what. He's such a great young guy. He's unselfish. He passes. He shares. AD and I talk about it. Antonio Daniels and I talk about it. He's got to be a little more selfish, not to force things, but to look for his when it's available, because he's that good. He is now untouchable, by the way, guys. He's only in his second season. He's only 22 years old. He was the 17th overall pick, and he's 6'9", 6'10", legit. So he catches it, balls up. They can't do a thing about it. He keeps the ball high. They can't block it unless they have a good running start, put it that way. So he's untouchable. Think about the draft class. And I've said it to you guys before. It's not about this year, although I'd love to get deep into the postseason this year. But the window's just opening, because look at the draft class last year. The top three guys in steals, and almost deflections, but top three in steals, are all Pels. And one of them won't even draft it. It's Herb, Trey, and Jose. 1, 2, 3. In the NBA among last year's draft class in steals. So that's why I say what's developing with Trey at 22. Brandon's a geezer at 25, isn't he? And he's not half bad, is he, either? So you got Herb at 24. Zion, thank you, 22 and under contract for the next 5 years. Najee is 24. Dyson Daniels is 19. Don't forget about what we've seen from Kyra over the last few games. And Kyra is 21 years of age, and he's just getting his legs back. And he's got what you can't teach, the burst, the speed that you need for change of pace guards. So they've got to win on the road, as I pointed out. But back to the original premise, Bobby, Trey Murphy is a keeper. You know, we call him Trigger. He's a keeper. So it's very positive what's developing for him, because he worked on his handle all offseason. He goes to the rim with authority now. And you've seen some of the monster plays he's made around the rim. But he is untouchable the way he's shooting the basketball. There's a premium on shooting, and he's a keeper.
Now, Joe, what was your mindset? Because I know all the basketball that you've witnessed. And then all of a sudden, boy, a great comeback to beat the Lakers. And you never trailed the Kings. And now you win. I should say you won consecutive games for the first time since late December. I mean, that was before the new year. You knew probably eventually you got to get over the hump. You can't just keep losing. But I thought it was significant to win a back-to-back. And then you look at now, you climb back to, over 500, 28, 27. And then, you're 2-0 in the current homestand. And you got the Hawks tomorrow night. And you got the Cavaliers. Look how well that they're playing. But what is your take when you keep in the right perspective, when you consider that, how close and how tight it is, like you said, in the Western Conference, that they won consecutive games for the first time since late December?
Well, put it this way. Going in and on camera with AD on Saturday night, I said it was the most important weekend of the entire season, because we're going to find out about the resilience of the team. You know, they come in, 10-game losing streak, all the emotions, the hype going into the Laker game, LeBron 63 points away from surpassing Kareem. and they didn't wilt under the pressure. In fact, they came back. Jose had a big, you know, CJ was big in the first quarter. Jose in the third carried over the fourth. Trey with the monsters in the fourth quarter. And then Brandon Ingram took over at times in that game. He finished with 35. They responded accordingly. See, if they just were a bust over the weekend, I wouldn't feel this way. But they responded, and then they get Brandon and Jonas back for both games this week. Zion's real close. Zion's very close to coming back. I'm not saying he's going to be back tomorrow because I don't believe he will be back tomorrow. But he's real close before we go to the All-Star break, because you brought it up. After the Cavs on Friday, you go to Oak City, and then you got the Lakers again next week. So the ultimate, to have Zion back in the lineup next week, cross our fingers on that, because that is a monster move. That's why everything is encouraging after what they did over the weekend. They look like the team that we saw in December before Z went down. So that's why I'm encouraged about it. And even though you had a 10-game losing streak, you have an opportunity to be in the top four, top six at least, so you don't go to the play-in over the next 27. There's only 27 games left, guys. How crazy is that? Has the season really flown by? At least it has for me.
Joe, the importance of Larry Nance Jr., and I think about it when that trade came down with CJ, you know, everybody, oh, he's just sort of a throw-in. Man, give me that sort of throw-in player. Larry's really played well on the defensive side of the ball. Every once in a while, man, he'll hit it up on the scoring end. But how they have made that work. He's not a gold chip player, okay? But, man, he fits in so well with this basketball team.
Yeah, and Mike, I'm glad you brought him up, because, see, he's the opposite of Jonas. Jonas is huge, tall ball, physical, can dominate, and Jonas has been off the charts. He's just, over the last dozen games, double-double machine. And then Billy came off the bench, but Larry, athletically, is the opposite of Jonas. So it's when you do want to go small ball five, and he's not small by any means, because Larry's a legit 6'8", 6'9". But athletically, what he did against a really good, I mean, an all-star. Domantas Sabonis is an all-star. And Larry matched up unbelievably well with him, because he's grounded and he's a pro. He's been there. He's done that. He's seen everything. And he's only 29 years old. And we've got him under contract for a couple more years. Griff extended him at the start of the year, which is, knock on wood, it was a great move. He's just got to stay sound, because Larry's had his bumps and bruises through his career. But I'm glad you brought up Larry, because that's the compliment you get with the second line. You see Jose comes on the floor, or Kyra, and they're different than CJ. They're different than Herb, big guards, and Herb especially. So it's real healthy what's going on because of the versatility of this team and the depth of this team. And now, you know, it's such a psychological game, as you know, through a course of a long season. You're going to have it, and a young team. Fortunately, you got Larry, and you got Jonas, and you got CJ, and guys that have been there and played at a high level for a long time in the league. So that's why I truly believe it moving ahead, and these two home games are massive. But the weekend was the biggest weekend so far this season, and the Pels responded.
Now, Joe, when you look at B.I. with Ingram, obviously this is what we expected. I mean, much is given, much is required. The same thing would be with Zion, and he scored 35 points in the win over the Lakers. But he didn't suit up on Sunday. You could say, well, back-to-back. And then some fans have asked me, what's up with this, Hebert? Lingering soreness in his left toe. Is that something that's going to continuously being lingering? Like, in other words, well, he can't play against the Cavs or some because his toes still bother him. So what's your take on that? Do you think is that something he's got to deal with the rest of the season?
Well, I think it's something you're cautious about, and you worry on back-to-backs, but I don't think it's a lingering issue at all. And we have an amazing staff with Aaron Nelson and Tom Maystadt. They lead our sports medicine and training staff, and they've been there, done that for over 20 years, the two guys in the league. So, no, I don't believe that to be the case. But here's the key with Brandon. Brandon brings so much attention. The Lakers, every time he touched the basketball, the Lakers were sending a double. And that's why they had a couple of steals coming up behind and slipping in behind him. And it wasn't great communication on a couple of those turnovers from his teammates. Not Brandon, because he was trying to make plays. But he brings the attention. So that means, and Zion, they build a wall for Zion. Well, that means Trey's going to get good looks. Back to your original, getting four threes a game out of Trey. Yeah, it's definitely. It's not just possible, it's feasible. Because when you get your stars and they attract that much attention, there's going to be space for others. So that's why Trey's got to make shots. Najee hit some threes last night. Everybody's got to do their part. If everybody plays their role, it is going to be a real successful season. And the key is staying healthy, guys. There's no question about that.
Joe, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. Hey, keep that W streak up, brother.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, don't have too much fun over there without me, guys.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll be back.
Imagine Joe Mars.
Second guest, Joe Mars. Just does an unbelievable job. That voice, you don't have to see the face. That voice, you know exactly who it is. We'll be back with more second guests right after this break on the Big 870.